The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello! That's as opposed to good morning. I thought about it all week, actually.
Good morning, one and all.
You get yourself situated over there.
Yeah, my microphone is malfunctioning.
Yeah, it was pointing somewhere else.
Morning, Aaron. Morning,
man,
Bill.
We had stuff we had to do. All right. You are joining the Nutty People from We the People Radio. And can you not hear us, Willis?
Oh, wow. That's nice and loud.
Oh, boy. Radio for deaf people.
Oh, I'm giving myself feedback.
Outstanding. Hey, so today, you know, for all those people that were like, you know, that whole Christmas thing lasted a long time, we'll be talking politics today. Today, lots of politics, lots of Agenda 21. We're going to talk about California politics and how that relates to national politics.
And
there's more.
We're going to answer the question, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, because we have a situation here with the eggs.
Yes,
we do. And for those people that have not been reading, I listed a bunch of sources. Okay, I said I did it. I actually just put them on the website. But our guest, Diane Amble, she's the one who sent them all to me. The website is loaded with information. So if you are listening to the show and you're like, darn it, I'm going to miss it. Yeah, you're not really. Just go to wethepeopleradio.us. All that stuff together, no dots, no dashes, just wethepeopleradio.us. And it should come up with Robert Exter's amazing drawing of our founding fathers with the words We the People across it. And if you click on this week, either on the top or on the icons just below, you will go to the show page for today, and there is a ton of information. I'll move all that to the archive immediately after the show at, like, meh. I usually have it done by about 2:30, yeah, and I'll also put the, the podcast of the program. So if you have people who need to hear it, you can forward the page right afterward.
That's right. Because we archive everything.
Exactly. There's tons of archives, four years worth, actually. So we spoke with Diane before, and I linked those also. Hey, Bob, your microphone's on over there. We're listening to them trying to hook up the Skype thing, and I was kind of listening, which was distracting.
It's nice and everything.
I was kind of two-tracking it there. Not good. We'll have the archives of her past shows. We did a lot on Humane Society. So I know you're like, what the heck? This show going to be about everything? I don't think we'll probably work in, let's see, what won't come in today? Probably not wolves. We probably won't talk about those. I don't know. Who knows? We might. I hate wolves. everything. It's like those wolves, you know. And
they started the whole thing.
Yeah, stupid wolves. Anyway, so that's kind of our roadmap for today, Mr. Pen Clicker. So what do you have for us?
Happy New Year.
You should see the look on his face.
Yeah. Oh.
Normally you have to slap somebody to get that look on their face.
No.
That was like the look.
Yeah, don't put me on the spot like that.
Yeah,
so
no.
So you might hear me.
Okay. So California's bad egg bill is and it's great. There's a wonderful graphic there. California's bad egg bill set to crack the U.S. economy. And I think most people probably don't remember, but there was a thing called Prop 2 that went through in, like, 2008. Hey, Bob, can we put Diane on the sound?
Can
we phone her in while we're Skyping her?
All you bacon and eggs people are going to
Well,
have to start
not
going.
On the line that she's on at the moment. I can't put the business line on the
air. Oh, I called her on the wrong line.
So
I got preempted.
Yeah, you're out. I'm fired as the engineer. I used the phone on Bob's side of the table. Thought it was helping.
Hang on just a second. I'll get her back
sure.
on the other
call
line.
Call her back on the right line.
I'll go back to my bacon and eggs statement.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. Heavy on the bacon. Because the eggs are going to be out of reach.
Well, and stuff that contains eggs.
Yep.
The other thing about this that's pretty brutal is that it affects other states as well. It isn't just California, and that's why I said at the beginning, this is kind of a show for everybody, no matter where you are, because this is one of those things that'll mushroom across other states, not to mix my food groups. But it is an omelet ingredient.
Yes, it is.
I guess I can use omelet ingredient.
We not only have happy cows, we have happy chickens.
Yeah, because they have lots of room to stretch.
Lots of room to stretch their little wings. Yeah,
and strut.
And they can actually do laps around their little quarters now.
But fun fact, California eats the most eggs. We only produce a third of them out there in the big world, but we eat the most. So we import a lot of eggs
into
California.
So we are egg suckers.
We are egg suckers. That's what I should have called the show, California Egg Suckers. Everybody else is like, yeah. So the tricky part of this is that since we have to import them, now some judge just here within the last month just ruled that if you are bringing eggs into California, you have to meet these larger cage requirements and all this stuff that California has imposed.
Right. Before you can import them, you have to go meet the chickens and see if they're happy.
Exactly. They all have to have names.
That's
they need to have P.O. boxes.
They have a little interrogation list we go through
exactly.
And make sure that
they have to have their...
They were happy when they laid their egg.
They have to have their chicken pillows fluffed.
That's right. Can
we get Diane back on? Because I'm running out of...
Okay, she's back.
Got all the way down to fluffing their chicken pillows. I was like, all right, I'm out of details. Well, I mean, I could read you what she sent me, but that's not very fun. All right, Miss Diane. So we gave them a little bit of rundown that it's going to hurt California and everybody else. Oh, and by the way, the Humane Society is at the core of this. And that's why you're here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Prop 2, what year? 2008. And you've told the reason I even noticed this when I read about it on Twitter or something a week or two ago was because I remember you telling us about this back in 2012 when we had you on talking about the Humane Society.
This is the real bread and butter for the Humane Society and all their ilk. It's not about puppies and kittens. It's about controlling our food production. This is the big enchilada.
And this is this the beginning of their major control over food production? I mean, is this their first huge win?
Right, in California. They tried to do it also in Missouri. Missouri saw it coming down the pipe, and they did, I believe, a constitutional amendment, an initiative, and the people said no such thing will be allowed in Missouri.
Oh, interesting.
And they saw it coming down the pipe. California is always the testing grounds, and they have a lot of... support from animal rights organizations here. They have a very big network, and they're able to do things that they can't do in other states.
But other states will be bound by this, right?
No. Well, yes, if they want to sell the eggs in California. However, there is a rather large lawsuit in the courts, in the federal courts right now, saying that this is basically they're trying to monopolize, they're violating the Commerce Clause. You can't tell other states how to produce and sell and distribute. Although the first federal district judge struck it down, they're appealing it, and that was what they should have done from the very beginning. And finally, they woke up and decided to fight it in court. I'd urge them to do that from day one.
Wasn't the Humane Society just found guilty of some misdeeds?
Yeah, they had to pay it.
Racketeering.
That's no biggie.
Against Feld Entertainment, Ringling Brothers, basically, them along with Fun for Animals and a couple of their affiliates. They're all affiliates. They're all the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, they were paying for a witness to say things that weren't true. And through many, many years and wonderful investigation, Feld Entertainment was able to prove that. The judge was outraged, and they're all paying millions of dollars in to Feld Entertainment. It cost millions of dollars for that lawsuit, but it was racketeering. That's what they got them for, RICO.
Nice.
And this
nice.
Is what this is, too. This is RICO. This is racketeering. They're conspiring to control food production.
So,
and it's a protection racket. They want to inspect all the farms to make sure that they're raising the hens. These are shelled egg hens. Not any other kind of hens, only the ones that produce your table eggs. that they can inspect and say whether you're doing it right, and you have to pay a fee for it. So it's a protection racket or pay-to-play racket. This is a long-time old mafia tactic. But now the scheme and artifice, racketeering is where you build a scheme and artifice. In other words, you scheme it, then you build the artifice. In this case, they use legislation. The California voter was bamboozled into thinking this is for animals, but the amazing thing, what they don't understand, is that the hens will have to be, there's a reduction, because you have to give them twice as much space, basically almost twice as much space. Or they want no cages whatsoever. That means those hens will have to be, so millions of hens will be killed for this implementation. Millions.
Of course. And
that's because they just don't have the space, is that right?
Right, well, they can't afford the space. I mean, this is California. Think about it. How much it costs per square foot here. And you can't sell them off to another area. Like, these are good laying hens. Why don't you take them? You can't, because each region in California across the United States is a bioregion, and you cannot move them across that line. So let's say another producer in Southern California or Arizona would like them. Nope, they can't have them. They're going to have to be destroyed.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
And they say about 2 million across the United States will be destroyed, so that the farms across the United States that want to comply and sell their eggs to California will have to comply, and therefore they'll have to kill those chickens or move them somewhere else. And it's not that easy to just move them. They have to build facilities and move them, and they'd have to be close by because of the bioregion, the biohazard controls. And the industry has to do that. You can't let contamination from one area to the other go. That's just very sensitive. They have been controlling chickens in the way they produce them for a long time, so that they don't get contaminated with disease or anything like that.
Right.
So it's very high security for chickens.
So once again, it's the Humane Society is not about protecting the animals
or the people.
Or the people. It's about the money.
People are last on the list, for sure. It's about the money.
They'll have to
go inspect those in farms in other, let's say, Iowa or Arizona or wherever, in order for them to be able to say that they are up to snuff, and then they can import or export eggs into California.
Yeah, brother.
So I'm sure those farmers will be thrilled to have to allow the Humane Society under their property to inspect their facilities.
Okay,
right.
So we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll kind of, since we got off to kind of an odd beginning, we'll go back to the beginning. We need to talk about Prop 8, or Prop 2, Prop 8. Where did that come from? It's a subliminal throwback to another show. all right, forget it. We're just taking a break now.
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
We'll go back to Prop 2, where it came from, why they did it, how they got away with it, what the unsuspecting public was thinking when they voted for it, why it sounded good, and where that's going to go from here. Stick with us. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KZNR 1460 AM. We will be right back. And if you're a chicken, you get more cage space. Yeah.
Oh, you can flap your wings now. You can almost fly in that cage. Oh, that's right. Chickens don't fly, do they?
Knucklehead. No breakfast for you.
I said, no breakfast for you, boy.
That's true. We should have some good foghorn leghorn on this morning. Hey, Bob, that's your goal now. You have an hour and a half to find us a foghorn leghorn song. I'll say, son. Okay, so do we have Diane? Did we lose Diane?
Oh, no, she's
I'm
been here.
Oh, okay. Here. Sorry, you're just silent through the buffoonery.
I'm quiet.
Dear God. Let's see. So,
We're going to start at the beginning.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. If you click on this week, for starters, you'll be able to get to the chat room, which is a great place to ask questions, make comments, goof off, you know, all of the above. And then there's a ton of information on that page. Also, the links to the two shows we did back in 2012, April of 2012, on the Humane Society, because that all has a bearing, and we won't be able to cram all of that in, but we'll do our level best.
And I think people really need to look into that Humane Society show. I mean, they are so corrupt. It's just unbelievable what they get away with.
That's what made me love doing this show. It was like, look at all the great stuff we get to learn.
Yeah, all they know about are the puppy commercials and the sad dogs and cats, and it has nothing to do with them.
So before we bash the Humane Society to death, which we intend to do today, help us, okay, peel apart for us, Diane, the difference between the Humane Society downtown, where you would go adopt a dog, or who would get your dog and hold it till you come fetch it. You know, they do stuff we need.
They do a good job.
So what's the difference?
Completely distinct entity. Yeah. Humane Society of the United States, which that's not even their name. It's National Humane Society, and they bought the use of Humane Society of the United States.
Really?
But they are a national, basically, fundraising organization in Washington, D.C. 1% of their money are spent on any programs to help animals at all. Sometimes it's for vaccination for animals, with veterinary students, what have you, but very, very small amount. Most of their money is spent on fundraising, and almost many of the people on that board have what they call the enrichment companies, where the money is deposited. They own those companies where the money is deposited, or they have a stake in the fundraising corporations that they pay the bulk of the money. So it comes back to them in the services that are provided for the fundraising. That's how it operates. It's a big scam. It's a sham. And they get away with it. The IRS should be investigating them. There's many requests for that. It is under investigation, but it's slow going. They have people in high places utilizing them to keep, you know, keeping on. And who knows what else they do with all this cash that comes in or doesn't come in, or they say it comes in. Who knows what?
Okay, so if it's
the local ones that they're a nonprofit, and they, you know, take in your animals or what have you, or provide services like sterilization. They have nothing to do with it. They have no affiliations. In fact, they say they would never run a shelter, and there's a reason for that. In the very, very beginning when they operated, they did have some animal farms, and they became, it was a big, you know, controversy over how they were taking care of those animals, and they decided they're not doing that anymore, and I think they sort of locked that into fund for animals. But they have many, they had many organizations. They took over Doorstay Animal League, Fund for Animals. They are the top company or nonprofit, and then they have all these other nonprofits that they've taken over and control. So when you give money, for instance, to Doorstay Animal League, you're giving money to HSUS, basically.
Hmm. Oh, lovely.
They control almost all of them.
And
almost all of them.
That was a big thing.
Their board
thing.
Members sit on ASPCA, a big one, the second biggest one in the United States. It's out of New York. All their board members, I think it was a takeover. They sued each other over this, what are the best standards to raise animals. They sued each other, ASPCA and HSUS, and then all of a sudden there was a settlement, and HSUS board members are sitting on the board of ASPCA. So what do you call that? I'd call that a hostile takeover.
We call that convenient.
I wasn't there.
Okay, so lots of politics connected with this, and so let's go back to the Prop 2 thing in California that kind of, you know, got the egg rolling here.
Well, they tried to tell the population, the voter here, that, you know, the hens are being mistreated, the hogs are being mistreated, and what else am I leaving out? The veal. Well, we really don't have any veal operation here, and the hog operation, I think there's 3 farms, and they're very small. We do have a considerable hen operation, although we only produce one-third, from what I understand, approximately one-third of the shelled eggs that California uses. We are the biggest consumer of shelled eggs in the nation. We love our eggs in California. So this is big business.
Well, isn't Foster Farms still operates in California, don't they?
Foster Farms, I believe, is really about chicken production, meat production. I might be wrong. They might have some egg production, but nothing like most of our eggs actually come from Iowa. Although a third of it comes from here for production here, and many of those are cage free or range free as well. Here, we have a lot of that in place, but not enough to supply us. Let's just put it that way. Not even a drop in the bucket to supply what California needs in eggs.
And then,
but right now, what they're saying is we're going to have an egg shortage. Watch and see.
Yeah, well, and let's clarify, too. You had said shelled eggs, and it's important. I mean, for people who haven't had a chance to...
Oh.
It'd take them 3 days to read everything I put on the website, so clarify
shelled
why shelled.
Okay, shelled is your table egg. That's your table egg. When you go and buy a dozen eggs or a dozen and a half or one of the big packages, let's say at Walmart or somewhere like that, that's what you call shelled eggs. This law now in place due to Prop 2, it was an initiative, does not pertain to liquid eggs, powdered eggs, specialty, anything. There's a huge list of products that eggs can come to you. Or, for instance, you could buy powdered eggs, but mostly who buys those kind of eggs are food producers. For instance, bakeries might buy a 50-pound gallon, is white, tub of liquid eggs. It does not pertain to the hens that produce that. It does not pertain to the hens that produce powdered eggs. It does not pertain to the hens that produce egg whites, for instance, et cetera. There's probably 50 types of egg products. It only applies to the shelled eggs. And when I was in the legislature lobbying against this, you know, grassroots lobbying, didn't get paid, I asked them in open session there in their committees, I said, how come, if this is about the welfare of hens, then how come the hens that produce the bulk of everything don't get protection, but only the shelled eggs? Now, that's the high value, though. You get your highest value from a shelled egg than the other stuff. No one could answer that, and they didn't care to listen, which is interesting. But you have to think about this. If we have a shortage, who will fill that shortage? Well, Mexico can fill it, and so can China. China is the largest producer of eggs in the world. And they can't send the shelled eggs over, but you can bet they can send over frozen, dried eggs, and even the liquid eggs.
Right. Does Mexico supply the shelled eggs?
I think not so much, but they could do the liquid eggs. And the dried eggs and what have you.
That's what restaurants use and baking companies and places like that.
Right. When your bakery, they usually don't. Now, very high-end restaurants and bakeries will use real eggs, but the really big production, food production here, for instance, in California, they get it by the pounds and those buckets and what have you. That's what they're really using because you spend so much time breaking the eggs, separating the shells. There are egg breakers in this state, in other words, companies that break the eggs and put them in those, you know, make sure there's no shells in it, and then they supply that to schools, prisons, hospitals, et cetera. They're not breaking eggs at schools and hospitals.
That's pretty funny. Somebody's job is to be an egg breaker?
Yeah, well, it's companies. They're called egg breakers. Yeah.
No kidding.
They got to have machines.
So it doesn't apply to any production of that. Not at all. Those birds do not warrant any protection. So you got to ask yourself, what is this really about?
Right. Yeah, if it doesn't protect all the chickens, then it probably isn't about the chickens.
Then what are we doing? Well, and we have one of the big culprits. I mean, we always pride ourselves on naming names, especially when you come on with us. But Jared Huffman was a major player in this as a state legislator. And now...
Now he's a congressman.
Now he's your congressman, so lovely.
Yeah, the North Coast decided we want him in Congress. Well, that was... we're just crazy, I guess, on the North Coast.
Yeah, when we come back from this break, let's talk a little bit about how he's connected here, and like through the Humane Society and all that kind of jazz. And Bob, are we ready to do that? We are, because I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking, I'm going to have all our breaks at the end of the show. Not really. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Why? What have you here for us?
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss.
Well,
I'm satisfied as long as I get my kiss.
How do you like
is that involved?
Toast in the morning?
I like mine with a hug.
It's the legislature.
The world's all right awesome. As long as I get my hug.
Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken and watch them feathers fly. Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken. Break out the butter and the flour and the fries.
My dog Pete's the smallest dog of all the dogs in my yard.
That's right.
He's a mean some bitch, drinks beaming water from a broken mason jar.
And we sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken and watch them feathers fly. Sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken. Bring out the butter and the flour ready to fry.
All of our animal rights
yeah, that's for the Humane Society.
People's heads just exploded. Yet another home run. Oh, you're listening to We the People Radio, which I'm sure you've already figured out, because who else plays this kind of nutty music except for Bob?
How can you not love the Zac Brown
Band? How can you not love it? So we're talking about the California egg production and how that's going to blow up in everybody's face starting now. The law went into effect January 1, started with Prop 2 back in 2008. And it was what did they tell the voters? I mean, I didn't go look up the proposition language, Diane, but what did they tell people this was going to do that got 64% of the electorate to vote for this?
Well, they used commercials saying that they needed to be able to turn around, spread their wings, and that sort of thing, and that to change the amount of space that each hen would have. So they've increased it by, I think it's like 70% that the hens will have. But now they're saying, for instance, because the initiative was written in a muddy way, it wasn't very clear what they were after. And when you are the initiative winner, you get to sort of say what you really meant. So now they're saying they want now even double what it is, that the farmers have now adjusted. Many of them have adjusted, and there were sort of lawsuits about that. Look, I've done enrichment cages. I've enlarged the cage. Is this good? They're like, no, not good enough. And so what they're saying is that HSUS is saying to their constituents, so who they say are millions of members, but they've never been able to prove that. I mean, I get a card all the time that I'm a member. I've never requested it, and I keep sending cards to me.
It's like AARP.
Yeah, but worse. So anyway, they say now that they're pushing for cage-free, which means that they would be raised in large barns with no cage, and then they want to go to free-range where the chickens would either be outside or inside and outside, and so that would be free range. And then, but really, if you listen to what they're saying to in their own meeting, they say that cage free isn't the way they really want to go. It's a step in the right direction. The step in the right direction is quote unquote from head of their humane operation, which is Mayim Park. She says, we don't want any of these animals to be raised and killed. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of waiting until we have the opportunity to get rid of the entire industry. And when she says the entire industry, she means all farming that produces animals for humane consumption. So they want you all to be vegans, but we are omnivores. We are not truly vegetarians, and that's not going to work. You can't raise a child up in a healthy way on that. And most people that actually even go vegan, after about 10 years, they have to stop because of health concerns, and that's the reality. It's almost like a religion going vegan. It just doesn't work in the long run. But their intent, besides that, that's their philosophical, the useful idiots that they have. What they're really out for is the control of food production. And people need to understand that. The price of eggs went up 50% even in 2007. And I asked the head of UEP, that's United Egg Producers, it's a nationwide operation, and if they certified egg production voluntarily at that time, et cetera. And I said, why have the eggs already gone up in California? He said, because the farmers are not reinvesting in California. They're either going to retire or take off to friendlier states because they can't operate. In other words, let's say you have a business. Let's just say you have an automotive business, and all of a sudden they make a law that you have to double the size of your business. Where are you going to get the money to do that?
Sure.
And chicken operations are much more expensive, I assure you, than an automotive shop.
Well, the other thing, too, is that actually giving chickens more space is not always safe for the chickens. There's a great video. You gave us a great video that we put on the website, California's Rotten Egg Bill. It's a red window there with a video, and it says, why does the Humane Society of the United States want to crush the incredible edible egg? And that video has a great amount of information in there about how unsafe it is for the actual chickens.
Well, it's not such a bad thing for them to have in what they call enclosed cages, where they have perch. But to force farmers to do this, it's un-American. Let's call it for what
there's
it is.
That too.
It's communism. It's communism. If you can't do this how are we doing this in America, saying the farmers raise their chickens? In California, I promise you, we farmers, the farmers here in California, are the best at raising, I don't care what it is, whether it's walnuts, chickens, hogs, cows, or whatever. We do it best than probably anywhere in the world. So it's not about giving them anything beneficial. It is that collection of money to inspect, control egg production, the shakedown of the egg industry, and then going on from there. They'll be doing it to the other industries. And that's why it was fought at a national level. They tried to do this nationwide, and UEP was basically being exported to go along with it. And the other animal production industries like cattle and hogs, they said, no, we can't have this. It's just going to roll from eggs, then it'll go to chicken production, the meat chicken and cattle. We can't have the Humane Society of the United States telling us to, you know, raise our animals. It's communism is what it is, really. If you look on the board of the Humane Society of the United States, Maurice Strong sits on that board. Who is Maurice Strong? Anybody here know?
The guy who wrote Agenda 21.
That's correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
He submitted it to the United Nations in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. This is the intent of Agenda 21, is to control the people. And you control them first through food and water. When people are hungry, they'll do anything. They'll move into the cities. They'll do whatever they have to do to eat. We're going to have an egg shortage. Eggs are already now, as of the first, jumped about 40% in price. Just go look at what you paid for them last week and then go into the store and try and buy them here locally in Northern California. And I'm sure it's worse in other areas. This is not helping people. When this law was being put, you know, discussed, this initiative, I went to see at that time Senator Leland Yee in San Francisco. And he was a very powerful senator, and I had a meeting with him in his, you know, it's practically a penthouse in his office in San Francisco, very luxurious. He's wearing a $5,000 silk suit. Everybody else in his office is wearing a silk suit. It doesn't, from Hong Kong, I'm sure. That's not normal. But I went in there, and I asked him, I said, look, you've got to help stop this. You have to help educate the people, because you're poor, your elderly are going to be hurt with this. Because right now, many elderly citizens or the poor, they are maybe cracking one egg a night into their or some families, their kids are eating beans and rice and they fry an egg and put it on top. That's the only protein they're getting. If eggs double or triple or quadruple even in price, which I wouldn't doubt from the time this started, they've already basically doubled now. From that time, I said, how are they going to afford, were they going to eat a half an egg and then a quarter of an egg? And he laughed at me and he says, that won't happen, Diane. Don't worry. Don't worry. Well, we know, I guess he was busy with other things like, selling, or trying to sell arms terrorist organizations to
you gotta have terrorists. You got to have your priorities.
Right, right. So the eggs don't matter. Eggs are what the whole economy runs on, the food industry, everything. And during World War II, eggs and chickens were even currency. That was the only thing that was worth anything anymore, really, during World War II. So we're talking about a very basic thing. When you raise the cost of eggs, you're raising the cost of everything from pancakes to bread. Eggs are in things you don't even know they're in there because they make a certain consistency in produced food. And a lot of people, you know, buy manufactured food. Our family, we cook everything ourselves, mostly from scratch, even pasta. And when this happened in 2007, when I saw the road it was going, I went and bought my first dozen of chicks, hens, and I raised them. We've been eating our own eggs ever since.
So if
the writing was on the wall.
So what about people who raise who have their own chickens and raise eggs and have that approved and sell those to, say, a local market or something as local organic eggs?
This does not really apply to them. It could if someone really wanted to force the issue, if they're raising shelled eggs and selling it to the local farmer's market. It could apply to them. But you see, HSUS is really about going after the money. There would be no money in that. Along with this law comes very severe penalties. If they allege that you don't have your chickens the right thing or any kind of inhumane treatment to those chickens, I believe it's $1,000 per hen per day and jail time for the growers. So why would anybody want to even participate in California?
Oh, wow.
Why? I mean, if I were an egg, shelled egg producer, I would be moving to, let's say, Arizona. That I wouldn't risk losing all my property, my lifetime work, and many of these farmers are third generation. They don't just wake up one day, I'm going to raise eggs. These are usually handed down. And they're facing losing everything their families have worked for generations, as well as all the property, which is very high value. And that's what HSUS likes to do. They like to raid and take your assets, ask forfeiture based on the raid. That's what they do. And they utilize all kinds of they'll utilize other humane societies to have you locally to do those. They're not good guys. And this is a real danger for our food safety, for us to have food. This is a reality. And we need a reality check. So then what the legislature did, Jared Huffman, he was an assembly member at the time for Marin County, Mill Valley and what have you, that area. They put on the table that all the eggs, therefore all the eggs that come in that are imported into California will have to also abide by this. And I testified that this is a racket. This is a protection racket. You all are building a scheme and office for racketeering the humane society of the United States. How can you even be participating in this? So at that time, they got very cuffy. It was during one of their appropriations meetings, and they tabled it. They didn't even vote on it. And then at the very end of the legislative, they even said, we're not doing anything with that. We're not going forward. At the very end of the session, legislative session, you know, these things are in July or August, whatever, at the very last minute.
Sure.
They brought it, voted it through. They say, this is protecting, the farmers here because then the farmers, importing the eggs or exporting eggs into California won't have a, advantage. However, all of this is a racket. So now they expanded the territory for HSUS to, like, at least 2 to 3 times because we only produce a third of the shelled eggs that we eat here. So it was a massive expansion for them under Jared Huffman, and then the North Coast decided to vote him to Congress.
Mm. Unbelievable. I think it's going to hit home when people go to the grocery stores, and first they'll find that there aren't any eggs, or they'll find that the price is doubled, and then they're going to wonder why.
Well, there was a lot of discussion in the articles that you sent. I would really encourage people, go to the webpage and look at, I actually put snippets of the articles, but then at the bottom I also listed links from all the stuff you sent us. And in going through those articles, there was a big fight nationwide with the pork producers. They feel like it's coming for them next, which I'm sure that they're
going to come for all of them.
So they were encouraging the egg guys outside of California to boycott California. You know, let the guys in California, you know, fall under the California regulation, sell to them, but don't import, don't meet the standard and import to California because they're going to mow us down next. But the egg producers are realizing that, I mean, they're in business and this is going to be profitable. Shortages are profit. So what?
That's true.
What have you heard beyond that? I mean, in the last, you know, as you guys watched this thing come through in 2008, you know, what's been the scuttlebutt? Because this is all just happening in the last month
Do you think out-of-state producers are going to comply, you know, spend the money and comply to capitalize on the upcoming shortage?
Well, guess what? Guess who can comply? Only the biggest. The biggest producers can comply. That is going to eliminate the market for all the little guys. And that's what happened in Europe. When they did this in Europe just a few years ago, they put out of business lots of egg producers. In fact, they were so mad at egg producers, they were like taking their eggs and smashing them in the streets in protest. And their protest, it was like egg smashing, which is interesting. But that who's going to be hurt most is the little farmer who is the backbone of America, the history of America, the formation of America. Washington, Jefferson, they were all farmers. Farmers are what made America great. And we're destroying the small farmers. And this initiative, the way that it's working out, is helping the biggest of the producers. They can take this hint. They can go buy more property or move to another state, et cetera. In fact, it's actually going to make energy costs go up. We're supposed to be reducing America's energy reliance. You have to keep chickens at a certain temperature. Very big changes in temperature can kill chickens, and they won't lay, and et cetera, et cetera. They'll get sick. So you have to keep these hen houses very nice and cozy warm. So if they have to expand that double, so let's say you have a million square feet for your chickens, then you'll have to, because there's a square foot per chicken, let's say. So then you have to go to 2 million square feet. Well, you have to heat that other million square foot. So what will you do? Most likely you can't afford to do that, or your fuel costs go up, or you move to a southern state where your fuel costs will be reduced.
Well,
has huge implications, but only the big corporations are making out on this one, I assure you. The little farmer is going to be screwed just like in Europe.
Well, anytime these regulations impact the producer, those costs are always passed down to the consumer. So if they want to, you know, play, they'll raise their price and move on. But the one that's getting hurt is the consumer, ultimately.
But the small farmers will be hurt, too, because they can't even afford to
Correct.
Meet it.
Sure.
See, so it'll be the consumer and the small farmer who will be impacted the most.
So it's the same?
And it's the poor. The all the rich people in the legislature, all those guys that you voted in, they're not worried about how much their eggs cost. In fact, if you ask them, they probably couldn't tell you what a dozen eggs are.
Well, isn't
you know, when was the last time they bought any eggs in a supermarket?
Aren't eggs the largest source of protein in our food stream right now?
No, they always have been. In fact, Title 18, which is all about racketeering, says our federal laws say that you cannot regulate eggs and chickens. That's how important they are, because they put that in place, I believe it was World War II or World War I, because there were racketeers popping up during the war that were selling the eggs to the military, because our army marches on, guess what, eggs. They really do. The first thing our troops do are wake up in the morning and eat a whole bunch of eggs. I don't care where you are, Navy, Marines, Army, Air Force. So they were racketeering and trying to sort of rip off the military. So the Congress, way back when, put into Title 18 that's racketeering. You cannot make any laws regulating or controlling the price or production of eggs or meat.
Hold that thought. We're coming right back in after the news here with Diane. We weren't paying attention to the time. You're listening to We the People Radio. afternoon. You are rejoining We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, because there is a ton of information on today's show page. Lots and lots and lots of information. We are talking with Diane Amble. We, I guess, kind of didn't really introduce you, Diane, so it's been an hour. Why don't you tell people... Why don't you give people a little information? I just always
details.
Say, yeah, details, you know, Diane Amble, investigative reporter. There you go. That is all.
Well, I've just been an activist for farmers and animal producers since 2007 when I was awoken by that bill that they tried, the state legislature tried to force the sterilization of all cats and dogs in the state. And I woke up and said, what's going on here? And I've been active ever since. I'm president of an SPCA out of San Joaquin County. Been very active in rescuing animals and helping farmers, pet owners, etc. And I am a member of the Los Angeles Press Club. So I've been doing investigative reporting for decades.
Nice. See, and that's how we found out all this great information about the Humane Society of the United States. And so for those folks that missed the first hour, if you go back to the webpage, you'll find links to the shows we did with Diane back in 2012 about the Humane Society, which was great. Most people don't know. And just give our little disclaimer here at the beginning. The Humane Society of the United States spends about 1% of their money on anything having to do with actual dogs and cats. And your local Humane Society is... not the same thing. So we're not bashing the local Humane Society. They do good work. Just this national organization that actually got busted for racketeering. Is this the first time or is this just a long series, Diane? The most recent one?
Well, they've never paid the, I believe, this kind of price as what has happened. They've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, like in Hurricane Katrina. The attorney general in Louisiana said, what'd you do with all the millions of dollars that you fundraised? And they said, oh, let us build you a veterinary wing. Those animals that you think they rescued, from my knowledge, they were not rescued. They were actually destroyed. And so there are many people, witnesses that tried to come forward on that. But again, the Feld Entertainment, which is Ringling Brothers, was able to take them on. The ordinary citizen cannot take on HSUS and their affiliates. They are just very well-heeled. They have a lot of money, millions of dollars in assets. People even leave their estate to them, which is ludicrous, thinking that they're going to help little puppies and kittens, and that's not what happens.
Holy cow.
So if you search HSUS, just a little... I just did a little experiment, and if you type in HSUS and the word racketeering, you'll get all sorts of good information. Okay, so Diane, before we dropped you unceremoniously there at the top of the hour when none of us were watching the clock, you were talking about Title 18 and how that affects this egg issue. Can you please line that out for us again? Because I don't think most of us know that.
Well, obviously nobody knows this. We're supposed to be a nation of laws, and Congress put that in place during the World War because there were a bunch of racketeers that came forward trying to control the price of eggs and gouge the military, the U.S. military, during a war, World War. And so they said, well, we'll fix that, you racketeers, and they put it under Title 18 that you cannot control, regulate the price of eggs and chicken meat, because that's what the military needs. It's very critical. You know, we buy all these, you know, missiles and what have you, and helicopters and planes, but hey, those men have to eat, and eggs are the number one thing that the military buys. So Congress doesn't seem to remember that. Our legislature doesn't go by the rule of law. They are ignoring Title 18, that they are basically racketeering and trying to monopolize, change the normal price of eggs would be, and they'll move on to chicken meat, dairy, cattle, beef, etc., pork. There's no stopping them. Once they get their foot in the door, that's why they fought that nationwide agreement that they had sort of extorted out of UEP, United Egg Producers. They said this will just roll into pork and then to dairy and then to cattle, and before you know it, we're all paying HSUS. So the other thing is that this violates the Commerce Clause. We're not supposed to be able to tell other that AB 1437 that Huffman put in place. We're not supposed to be able to tell other states how they grow, regulate, distribute, or transport their goods. So California has the audacity, along with HSUS, to say that other states have to do it a certain way. That is violation of the Commerce Clause. And do we hear anything from the DOJ? Crickets. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm so funny, aren't I?
Well, they get away with that same thing with the whole CARB deal, where they're trying to regulate out-of-state truckers to equip their vehicles with California smog emission controls, and they get away with that. Yeah, I'm surprised that somebody hasn't brought up that Title 18 and shut this whole thing down before it even got started.
Well, I discussed all this with the original attorneys for the chicken, the egg producers in the very beginning in 2007 when they were fighting, and they basically ignored me. We even ran a counter-initiative. I mean, we tried everything we could to stop it, but you have to have the big bucks behind you to really be effective. But, for instance, when this was beginning, eggs were like 77 cents a dozen. They're now up to $2.27 wholesale across the nation. I mean, this is going to hurt.
And now they're two, what are they now, two something?
No, they're like 240, 250.
227 is wholesale price. Wholesale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So right now, if grocery stores are only selling a little bit of that, they're absorbing some of this. Remember that eggs and milk and what have you is, you know why they always put it in the back of the supermarket?
Yeah, so you got to walk through all the aisles before you get to it.
So they want to make sure you come in and buy that, and they'll have specials on this or that because they've got to get you to walk through that store. So this is a staple for them to survive themselves. But just think about all the foods that will go up in price. McDonald's is a huge purchaser of eggs, and so is House of Pancakes. They buy a lot of eggs, and this is going to affect all of them. For instance, because they actually, House of Pancakes actually has like real shelled eggs. But again, who's going to be impacted? The rich? No. The big corporations? No. Who? The poor, the elderly, the senior citizens, the small business people, they're the ones that will be most impacted by this.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned McDonald's. I bet, they've got to be a huge consumer of eggs. I know they're the number one pork consumer. They buy more pork than any other company in the country, and that kind of shocked me. But,
no kidding.
Yeah. So,
they may also be number one in the eggs.
I'll bet they're right up there.
What about powdered eggs? Someone in the chat room brought up powdered eggs.
It's not affected at all. So, again, that's what I said. How come I asked our legislature here in California out, it's on record, on film probably and everything. I said, how come if this is about hen welfare, then why do those hens that produce liquid eggs, powdered eggs, all kinds of stuff, there is a huge list, like 50 different products. Why aren't they being protected? That if they're not being protected, then this is not about welfare, animal welfare. It's not.
Mm. Imagine that. All these Agenda 21 items that are designed to move people into the cities to control their movement, their food, their money, their freedom. I mean, this basically becomes a liberty issue again.
And again, all you've got to say is, wow, what is Maurice Strong doing on HSUS's board of directors? Right there, that's all I needed to see to know really why they were doing what they were doing. When I realized that, I'm like, now I understand it. And people need to understand what Agenda 21 is. If you don't know what it is, you need to get an education really quick, particularly those of us that live in rural areas. They are trying to move us into cities. In fact, what I heard is that, for instance, California League of Cities, that is not it's an NGO. They tried to dissolve one of the Northern California counties, that is Trinity County. They tried to dissolve it so that it would be pushed into Humboldt and Shasta. And CSAC, which is, again, another NGO, fought it back and kept them from dissolving it. They want to stop us from having rural anything, whether it's timber, mining, ranching, farming, and what for? If you look at Trinity, where they tried to dissolve it, they're going to run a railroad from Reading to the coast and a road, what they call a bypass, all the way through Trinity to bring trucks the other way for the port that they have now dredged out for the big Chinese barges. We're being sold out to the Chinese. That's what's happening in Northern California. Nobody's paying attention. And those eggs, those liquid eggs and powdered eggs, they'll come in on those ships because there's no control of that. They can bring in as much as they want. This does not pertain to those kinds of eggs, so they can just ship them in. They can't bring in the shelled eggs because they won't make the trip. They won't be fresh. But those other eggs are frozen, so they can bring those in.
Wow.
So the Chinese will be supplying our demand. I'm sure of it. Have no worries. But you'll be eating frozen liquid eggs, which, by the way, are not the high quality than with the freshness that shelled eggs are for the most part. And again, remember all the poisonings that happen with the stuff that comes in from China? I try not to have anything. I look on every label of everything
too.
I buy to make sure it's not Chinese.
Well, and we know, I mean, geez, those guys can't even make dog food. So on that happy note, we need to take a quick break here. We'll be back with Diane Amble. We'll be talking about the egg issue, Agenda 21, all that good stuff. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Get in the chat room. You can send us questions there. And be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Behind a chicken truck from Georgia, and the feathers were flying like snow out of the sky. I couldn't get up to speed enough to pass him, and the funny smell was getting close to me. And something keeps on messing up my windshield. And the further I go, the harder it gets to see. I say, yeah, chicken truck, behind it I'm stuck. Chicken truck, you just might up. Chicken truck, on Highway 65.
That would be what my dad used to call chicken pucky.
All right, who... Who was that?
John Anderson.
John Anderson.
Of course, Bill knew. You and Bob. I'd be hard pressed to find music for the chicken show. Oh my gosh. Well, Diane, where should we go from here?
Well, I think we need to really look at. We talk about the welfare for hens. What about the welfare for human beings? Right now, the way that we produce eggs is the best that science has been able to develop. These farmers here in the United States really know what they're doing. Do you think that the farmers in China, for instance, are raising the hens like we do? No, they're not. But we'll be bringing their eggs in, most likely. And so when those hens are not in these cages, and I'm not saying that I have my hens are running out loose, okay? But we're very careful to clean our eggs that we gather up, and if we could find them, we can't find them all, but and to wash them and to be very careful in the handling and the cooking. But they know that there is more bacterial contamination like salmonella with your cage-free and your free-range chickens. Long ago, before 1940, almost all eggs were produced in people's backyards. There was not the farmers making a lot of eggs and selling them. Everybody had some hens. But then we had a lot of catastrophes happen with farming, and they began to get into eggs, producing eggs and chickens, and that was a good deal for farmers in America. But they've done lots of studies across the world, and there is more contamination when you don't have the chickens in the cages. So with salmonella, children and the elderly can actually die from salmonella. You and I will probably get a bad tummy ache, but they can actually die. And so what about them? Well, I guess they don't count. Those kind of people don't count. The mortality for chickens in free range is something is very high because you've got predation and you've got the disease out there. The cage-free chickens inside barns are less at risk. You know, nothing's going to get in there, no hawks or what have you, and less disease in there. But there was a high mortality until they started producing the chickens in buildings closed in, and then they went to the cages, and mortality for chickens went down to like single digit or 13%, very, very low. They tried to produce this in the most scientific way. Now, if these hens weren't happy, guess what? They won't lay eggs. But they're happy hens. They're doing everything they can to keep them happy and healthy, these farmers. In fact, one of the biggest farmers, egg producers in the United States said to me, if anyone can tell me how to produce more eggs by making hens happier in any way, shape, or manner, that person is hired right now on the spot. They're always looking to do a better job. And I really don't think anyone in the world does it like we are American farmers.
Well, I think that's where a lot of these guys really lose the argument. I mean, they say the same thing about the loggers. You know, they're cutting all the trees down and, you know, we're not going to have any trees left. Well, if that was true, there wouldn't be any trees. And why would they, decimate something that they need to continue their livelihood? They're going to take care of the land, and the same thing with the chicken farmers. I mean, if they don't take care of the chickens and make them happy, then they're not going to lay eggs. I mean, it's a ridiculous argument.
Well, I'll give an example. They actually have studies. I think it's from Norway or Scandinavia somewhere. They're the Dutch. They found that in the chickens that are outside, you know, pasture-fed or what you call range-free, they had high levels of dioxins, which is poison. Basically comes from things like chlorine and what have you. Dioxin was what Agent Orange was. It's everywhere because it's used in pesticides and what have you. They had high levels of dioxins in those chickens and in their eggs. So when you raise the chickens indoors or in the cages, you are lowering significantly the poison that's in those eggs and those chickens. Well, and when we eat those things, those dioxins are not water soluble. They're fat soluble and they stay in our body, in our fat cells. And so that's where they're lodged in us. We don't eliminate them in waste. It's a very interesting thing, dioxin. And it's, very bad for the development of children, your brains, in your immune system, and even can make you sterile, dioxins. So there are so many levels of the way that we're raising birds and eggs in this country is really scientific, the best that we can do, and yet where we're going is in the wrong direction.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you control their food supply, you totally control the amount of minerals and everything else that are going into their eggs, and that makes total sense to keep them out of the bushes where all this stuff is in the ground. I mean, now we're going to – you think we'll get a higher level of that type of contaminant in our eggs if people start going to free range?
That's what the studies have shown, and, I mean, so that's a reality. That's the health side and who cares about the welfare for humans? Let's go to the economic side. China produces 50% of all eggs in the world.
Wow.
We in the United States only produce 10%. So where do you think when we have a shortage of eggs, really, where's it going to come from? HSUS and their people have made many, 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 many trips to China. Back and forth, back and forth. A lot of corporations go to China because that's where the money is. That's where the business is. So I find it highly suspect when they make it just for shelled eggs and not for all the other eggs. There's got to be something to that. Why they did not make this across the board.
Well, I think you're right when you said we're selling out to China. I just read the other day that our fabulous high-speed rail There's no U.S. contractors that have bid on that job. Only foreign contractors, which translates to China. That's who's going to build that. And look what happened to the Bay Bridge when we subbed that out to China. They found out that they used substandard bolts, and they have to go back and replace all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, the Chinese, you know, they cut corners. And does that really help our economy?
And not only that, but that Bay Bridge, it went over 600% over cost.
Big shock.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for what? Half a bridge. It wasn't even the whole bridge. It's a half a bridge.
Well, right. my guess is no American contractors are building on or bidding on the high-speed rail because they know that at the end of the day, it's never happening.
Well, the federal funding just got pulled on that, didn't it?
Yep. Yep. Oh. In the budget bill that everybody was freaked out about, one of the things was the federal money for high-cost rail was eliminated.
Haven't heard anything
that
about
was
that,
actually
though.
A good thing. Hey, one other thing, another article that you sent us that I have listed. Oh, I just made a change to the page as well. On the very bottom, I put a link to that YouTube video of that gal that goes berserk in a restaurant about her chicken named Snow. If you want to see animal rights activists at their best. That was a great one. I don't know how come I didn't think of that till just a few minutes ago. But just above that is an article about that says, are organic eggs safer or healthier? And at the end of the day, that article, after all of its information, then there's a ton of scientific information there. This isn't one of those opinion pieces. No, there's no advantage to organic eggs, which I thought was interesting. There's no evidence that the cholesterol content of eggs is lower in organic than in regular eggs. And although the fatty acid profile may be more favorable, contamination with salmonella and other food poisoning is not consistently different between organic and regular, may be higher in organic. All commercial poultry, free-range, barn, or caged are fed diets free of antibiotics. Therefore, residues are unlikely to be different. It was amazing to read the conclusion on this.
Yeah, and I bet you China is on the cutting edge of the organic industry. I bet they, what we're going to get from them is going to be top shelf.
Top cage, actually.
Yeah, top cage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we learned.
Is HSUS going to be inspecting China and their production? No, I don't think so.
They don't. Nobody inspects China. I mean, it just comes here, and then when there's a problem, then they go. You know, they do the recall and do a supposed investigation, but it's already here.
And it's all shock and awe at that point. They poisoned our dogs. We fed them dog food from China. Well, we did a program with a fisherman. He was an East Coast fisherman, actually, and we did that a couple of years ago, too. And he was telling us all about the seafood, the Asian seafood market, especially shrimp, are all raised underneath the chicken cages.
Yeah.
So that's where your free-range chickens are living, is hovering over your shrimp population that's on your way to the frozen food section.
Yeah, so when you check your labels, if it's any kind of seafood and it comes from Thailand or China or
a lot of your
Vietnam or
tilapia and all that,
you know what they're feeding them. And
they're eating chicken poo.
Yeah, it's the pucky again.
How many different ways can we say poo? Okay, that's a different story. Quick break, Bob. Look at that. We're only 2 minutes, 3 minutes late. Maybe we'll get to the top of the hour and actually say goodbye to Diane on time and not just like cut her off like we did last hour. Hang with us. Join us online. You've got time to watch the chicken video at the bottom of the page. WeThePeopleRadio.us here at KCNR 1460.
Okay, yeah.
Here we go.
You're waking up, I'm up. Right on two. Let me tell you what you got to do. You wrap your arms. Your feet start kicking. Then you know. We're doing the funky chicken.
The funky chicken?
Second spasm. Arms up above your face. Knees start wiggling all over the place. Clap your arm. Your feet start kicking. Then you know you're doing your funky chicken. Oh.
you are running your own business, already know that there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in...
When Mommy turned to Daddy and she said, my dear, write out your will because the end is near. Then she pulled out the gun, I saw the sparks. Messed up the suit that he bought from Marx because she'd heard the voices from outer space. She'd heard the voices from outer space. She'd heard the voices from outer space. Say never trust a man.
Hen House 5. Never trust a man with egg on his face? No?
That's not Hen House 5.
I'm looking at your screen, and it's like a big, whatever that is.
We have a split screen here.
Oh, we have multiple screens.
That's Adam and the Ants, actually, that you're hearing now.
And what's it called? Never trust a man with egg on his face?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Good advice.
Yeah, no kidding. I was like, what? So I guess we're going to hear that other one later. I thought maybe that was the theme song from the video that I posted.
Would have been good. They should put that on.
They should. They should link that. Actually, that would be a good overdub on that video. Yeah, she goes berserk in the restaurant and talks about how she's talking about a girl. It's my girl. Her name is Snow. And you get to the end of the video and you realize it's about a chicken. It's like, wow, how touched are these people? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was thinking about it during the break. The good part about Humane Society of the United States, I found an upside. The upside is that if they're involved, it's 100% bad every time.
Right.
Like if they're supporting a legislator that you have to vote for and you find out that they get contributions from HSUS, you can just vote no. You don't need to look any further.
Exactly. Right.
Because people aren't just a little bit involved with HSUS, are they?
No, they've actually sold their soul when they're involved with them, for sure. Can I read something from this article? It's called HOS, The Mob, and the Black Egg.
Oh, that's my favorite.
You're asking me about RICO, or racketeering, what uh-huh. they call RICO. So it said, during Prop 2 campaign organization, California for Maine Farms, the Fair Political Practices Commission was advised that donations represented RICO activity and should be investigated by the Attorney General's office. That's what the Fair Political Practices Commission said, and they did refer it to Jerry Brown, who was our Attorney General at the time. It goes on to say HSUS had found a way to bypass the campaign donation limitations by laundering the money through employees of HSUS and its associate member organizations, its affiliates. HSUS's 501c3, a nonprofit, loaned $500,000 to Door State Animal League, who they also control, to lobby Prop 2 in California. They used all that money for Prop 2. There was another company that they did it as well. A 501c3 organization is forbidden to loan or give money to 527 organizations, which are PACs, which is what that Humane California's for Maine Farms was a political action committee. The IRS did nothing. The Fair Political Practices Commission did nothing. When Jerry Brown's office was contacted, a senator's staff was asked why nothing was happening, and his response was, Jerry Brown is running for governor. He won't be making waves. So he looked the other way when basically the food was taken out of the mouths of Californians because he was running for governor. And on that subject, on New Year's Day, in Reading, a double flat of 60 eggs went from $8.99 to $14.99. And at Winco, it went from $7 to $10. When you take half the chickens, the hens, out of production, what do you think is going to happen to the cost of eggs?
Yeah, it amazes me that people can't figure that out. You know, and they wait until it's on us before they do anything about it.
Well, how much press did this get back in the day?
Very little, really. They ran all these ads. California's for Humane Farms ran all these, you know, and they showed cages from the South from probably, you know, 20 years ago. Nothing like what is utilized here in California. They showed all kinds of things that had nothing to do even with this whole prop, but they, you know, the visuals, they flashed them on the screen, and people reacted emotionally rather than getting educated, because that's how a lot of people are, and therefore they made the wrong decision at the ballot box.
It's like the video they were passing around where it showed a dairy farmer pushing around a dead cow with a tractor, and they said this is how they...
With a forklift.
Oh, it was a forklift? Yeah. This is how they treat their animals. You know, folks, the cow is dead. How do you move a 900 or 1,000-pound animal? I mean, you don't grab it by the leg and haul it off to the pit. You need a big piece of equipment.
Well, if they were dragging it, could you imagine if they were dragging it?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Even if the cow is not dead, how do you move a 2,000-pound or 1,500-pound animal? How do you move one?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'd like anybody to answer. If they're not walking, how do you move them?
That's right. That's right. And that's just cold, hard facts, folks. I mean, farming is farming, and you know, there's times when you have to use machinery, especially when you're dealing with huge animals like that. I mean, it's no different than, you know, when you're out hunting and you kill an elk. You don't just throw it on the back of the horse. You got to chop it up into like four pieces just to move it. I mean, it's common sense.
And if they call them, again, not only are we going to pay the price, but these birds are paying the price. They interviewed in one of these articles up there on your site, they interviewed Jim Dean. He's of Centrum Valley Farms, and he said he had to cull the flock at his facility to 800,000 birds from 1.5 million to relieve crowding. Do you know what cull means? They had to kill them.
Yeah. Culling means, yeah.
At hen welfare, my, that is the state of the art for hen welfare. Let's just kill these birds, because now we say those other birds have to have more space. That's like saying we got to kill half the Jews so we can treat them better in the concentration camp. It's insanity.
Ding,
yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
It is.
We brought up the Nazis.
Ding.
Well, you know, this really does go all the way back to there.
No, it does. I know. Sorry, I was just joking. On I think it's Armstrong and Getty said, Bill said, every time they say anything having to do with Hitler or Nazis, they ring a bell. I was thinking we should do that too.
Who started veganism? Hitler did. The Nazis started this whole thing, and it's just never died. It's never gone away. He wasn't a vegan, but they started it and told people that you have to farm this way and you have to do this. And then they started taking people, dogs, animals. I mean, we're still in that era.
Because the animal rights guys, they don't think we should own dogs and cats or any of that either, right?
They don't think that we should even eat. They don't think that we should even exist on the face of the earth.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we've got recordings and everything of these high-level employees and directors in HSUS and their other, you know, affiliate organizations. It's a big umbrella with them all under it, saying that this is just the beginning. These egg farmers, I mean, they doubled the cages. Now they want to double that. And then they'll want them cage-free, and then they'll want them range-free. And before you know it, there isn't any profit. And that's what happened in Europe. No profit anymore. So they went out of business. And what happened? They had huge food shortages, and the price of food is through the roof in Europe. And we're just going right down. We don't bother to look over there. Do you ever see the news reporting on what's going on in Europe about food and the prices over there? No. We hear about riots maybe in Greece and what have you. But there, we're talking about very basic things over there that are happening where they can't even afford to buy food in the European nations. And this is what they're driving us to this. They're not happy enough to destroy Europe. They want to destroy the United States. Again, Agenda 21, get rid of the United Nations.
They've got, the Europeans have just got to be laughing up their sleeve or just shaking their heads when they see what goes on over here. Here we're the strongest nation in the world, well, we used to be. And we're falling for all this. It's just, it's crazy.
It is crazy. So when we come back, we've got to take one more quick break where I think we're going to maybe learn about the Hen House 5 people that I thought we were playing earlier. I'm just dying of curiosity. You should see the picture he's got on the web. It's like a rhinoceros twirling a record on his horn. Kind of fun. We will be right back with Diane through the top of the hour here. I like it already. WeThePeopleRadio.us, where all the fun begins. Just for the record, that isn't Bill. Oh, that was.
Oh, my baby, how I love your legs. Not as much as I love scrambled eggs. Oh, we should eat some scrambled eggs. Waffle fries. Oh, my darling, how I love your thighs. Not as much as I love waffle fries. Oh, have you tried your waffle fries? They are so damn good that they should be illegal. They're like regular fries, but they're shaped like a waffle.
Chicken wings. Chicken, no. Chicken, vegetarian, no chicken wings.
Hilaire, I forgot, it was actually tofu wings.
Oh, my baby, when I hear you sing, all I think about is tofu wings. Oh, did you bring the tofu wings?
Okay, who is that?
Okay, that deserves some explanation. That's Paul McCartney when he made an appearance on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. Beatles fans may or may not know Scrambled Eggs was the original placeholder name for McCartney's song Yesterday.
Really?
So that's why it was sung to the tune of Yesterday.
I'll be darned. A little trivia there.
Trivia that ties in with our topic. Oh, that's a home run, Bob.
They added
a few
new words to it when they sang it. That was earlier this year.
We just...
No, that was last year now.
We did just surpass the Prairie Dog Show. This was actually more instructive and had funnier music. Oh, my gosh. So, Diane, in the last 5 minutes or so of the depressing revelations about our future with eggs... But not surprisingly, the revelations about the animal rights community. What do you think people ought to do?
Well, they could actually call their legislators and say, hey, that bill that Huffman put in, you need to withdraw that so that at least we can get eggs that are affordable still for those that can't afford the latida eggs. I mean, basically what this has happened is that the elite crowd, the legislators and the corporations, you like to call them the let them eat cake crowd, they just kicked the poor in the belly is what happened with this 1-2 punch. Prop 2, then AB 1437 by Huffman. That's what just happened to us. And then they're trying to do the same across the nation. The Missouri Attorney General, he filed suit against California. Okay, that's ongoing for us violating the Interstate Commerce Clause that's under the U.S. Constitution. And he says California has placed restrictions on the sale or transfer of a commodity based on production methods that have nothing to do with the safety or health of California consumers. If California legislators are permitted to mandate the size of chicken coops on Missouri farms, they must just as well easily demand that Missouri soybeans be harvested by hand or that Missouri corn be transported by solar-powered trucks. And you know what? We're already doing that. When you mentioned cap and trade, those trucks that all our guys have to buy new trucks and all the counties have to sell their trucks that they use and upgrade. But Mexican truck drivers get to roll right over. They don't have to submit to our regulations. So what do you call that? I call that corruption.
So they need to
demand that this be withdrawn, that this and that there's an investigation into the racketeering of this and how it was even financed, because it was financed illegally according to California's campaign laws. And they need to do it now before we may not be able to even stop the killing of the chickens here in California. I mean, when they say that they have to double the size, that means half our chickens that are shelled egg layers are going to have to be destroyed. And it's probably already happened. We may even be too late.
Well, yeah, if they don't, the first inspection, they get the big fine for not having their chickens in a, large enough area.
And this all went into effect January 1, so.
Right, so they could be in violation or they're just shutting down. When they did this in Europe, it was Humane Society International, which is a subsidiary of Humane Society of the United States, that drove this into Europe when they did it in Europe. And then what happened? All the eggs came from India. And so we know that happened there. So where are eggs coming from? They're not going to come from India. They're going to come from
China.
There you go. Yeah. We produce 5 billion eggs right now, we in California, from 20 million hens. So if we have to give them twice the space, I bet we're only going to have 10 million hens. So that we're going to be filling a lot of landfill with our 10 million hens.
Because we don't turn those into chickens.
Chicken fryers.
Those are different, right?
Those are different, and the problem is it would be good if they could turn them into dog food or what have you, but you have to have processing right in the bioregion that the chickens exist in. You have to have processing there, and we don't have dog food processing in every area that the chickens are produced. So it's a bio challenge, a biohazard challenge, but they'll just be wasted. They'll be landfill.
Nice.
And, very sad thing that's going on here, and our legislators don't have anything between their ears, in my opinion.
Well, it's one thing to import things from China, like, toys and clothes and, that sort of thing, but when you start importing our food from China and countries, not just China, I mean, there's a lot of other countries that we get foodstuffs, but when that starts, we don't have any control over how that food is produced, how it's raised, processed, none of that. And say what you want, but we don't have inspectors over there telling them how to do it.
And nor should we. But again, we know what happened in Europe. India filled in when all the small farmers collapsed, and China will be filling in as our small farmers collapse. And we'll be eating the Chinese eggs, and you won't even know it. You won't even be able to decide, because it'll be those frozen powdered eggs that are going to bakeries and prisons and schools. So your kids will be eating it. I assure you, it'll be your kids eating those Chinese eggs.
Lovely. All righty. Well, somebody just called in, so it's kind of become a joke. But for the last 2 hours, I never gave him the phone number. So you know what? If you don't go to the website, you're missing it all, because I put that right on the front page for you. Finally, after all this time, I realized that was missing. Diane, it has been fabulous.
Thank you for having me.
Yet again.
Thanks for coming on. That was a lot of super good information, and it's going to explain what's going to happen here in the very near future with
in your grocery stores and in your restaurants.
Yep.
Thanks a million, Diane Amble. Another fabulous program. Folks, we'll see. Hey, yeah, Happy New Year to you too. I guess we should throw that in there. That's our happy note for the day. Bob, you're wonderful. See you guys next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us will have the archive here shortly.
At KCNR, Shasta Redding.